Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we come to 1 Kings chapter 7, so let us read together the Word of Almighty God. But Solomon took 13 years to build his own house, so he finished all his house. He also built the house of the Forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits, with four rows of cedar pillars and cedar beams on the pillars. And it was paneled with cedar above the beams that were on the 45 pillars, 15 to a row. There were windows with beveled frames in three rows, and window was opposite window in three tiers. And all the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames. And window was opposite window in three tiers. He also made the Hall of Pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 30 cubits, and in front of them was a portico with pillars, and a canopy was in front of them. Then he made a hall for the throne, the Hall of Judgment, where he might judge, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. And the house where he dwelt had another court inside the hall, like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. All these were of costly stones cut to size, trimmed with saws inside and out, with the foundation to the eaves and also on the outside of the great court. The foundation was costly stones, large stones, some 10 cubits and some 8 cubits, and above were costly stones hewn to size, and cedar wood. The great court was enclosed with three rows of hewn stones and a row of cedar beams. So were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill in working all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all his work. And he cast two pillars of bronze, each one 8 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. Then he made two capitals of cast bronze to set on tops of the pillars. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. He made a lattice network with wreaths of chain work for capitals which were on top of the pillars, 7 chains for one capital and 7 for the other capital. So he made the pillars and the 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around to cover the capitals that were on top, and thus he did for the other capital. The capitals which were on top of the pillars in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits the capitals. On the 2 pillars had 2 pomegranates above and by the convex surface which was next to the network, and there were 200 such pomegranates in rows on each of the capitals all around. Then he set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the right and called its name Jachin, and he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shapes of lilies. So the work of the pillars was finished. And he made a sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. Below its brim were ornamental buds encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, and all the way around the sea. The ornamental buds were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their backs turned inwards. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 2,000 baths. He also made 10 carts of bronze. 4 cubits was the length of each cart, 4 cubits its width, and 3 cubits its height. And this was the design of the cart. They had panels, and the panels were between frames. On the panels that were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim, and on the frames was a pedestal on top. Below the lions were oxen were wreaths of plated work. Every cart had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and its 4 feet had supports. And under the laver were supports of cast bronze beside each wreath. Its opening inside, the crown at the top, was 1 cubit in diameter, and the opening was round, shaped like a pedestal, 1.5 cubits in outside diameter. And also, on the opening were engravings, but the panels were square, not round. Under the panels were four wheels, and the axles of the wheels were joined to the cart. The height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. The workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of a chariot wheel. Their axle pins, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all of cast bronze. And there were four supports at the four corners of each cart. Its supports were part of the cart itself. On the top of the cart, at the height of 0.5 cubit, it was perfectly round, and on the top of the cart its flanges and its panels were of the same casting. On the plates of its flanges and on its panels he engraved cherubim, lions, and palm trees, wherever there was a clear space on each, with wreaths all around. Thus he made the ten carts. All of them were of the same mold, one measure and one shape. Then he made 10 lavers of bronze, each laver containing 40 baths, and each laver was 4 cubits. On each side of the 10 carts was a laver, and he put 5 carts on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. He set the sea on the right hand side of the house toward the southeast. Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the bowls, so Hiram finished doing all the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. The two pillars, the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the two pillars, the two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals which were on top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates for the two networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network, to cover the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the pillars, the 10 carts, the 10 lavers on the carts, 1 sea and 12 oxen under the sea, the pots and the shovels and the bowls. All these articles which Hiram made for King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of burnished bronze. In the plain of the Jordan the king had them cast in clay molds between Succoth and Zeran. And Solomon did not weigh all the articles, because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold on which was the showbread, the lamps, stands of pure gold, 5 on the right hand side and 5 on the left in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of the gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of the gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought the things which his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold and the furnishings. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. As we look at this passage, the first thing we look at is the continuation of Solomon's building. We see that he is building his own house. He's building a number of other buildings. And as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is the building of Solomon's temple foreshadows the glory of salvation fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and further of heaven as we see it revealed for us in the book of Revelation. As we look at the first 12 verses, we see that Solomon fitted up several buildings for himself and for his own use. And then in verses 13 through 51, we see a retelling of the building of the temple, and especially the furnishing of the temple which he had built for God. So first of all, we look at these buildings which he builds for himself. We see that he builds his own house for 13 years. Not that he spent more time on it and more preparation on it than he had for the temple, but indeed David had already been preparing the temple. And so Solomon had a head start here. And Solomon was directly devoted in the building of the temple, and his own house could wait. Solomon also built the house of the forest of Lebanon, we read, very much cedar-covered, probably either nearby Jerusalem in the forest as a retreat, or possibly even as far away as in Lebanon. He had then the Hall of Pillars that we read about here. We understand he has this entranceway. And he has a hall then as well for his throne, for trial, for judgment, where cases would be appealed to him. Beautifully again, appointed in cedar. A house as well then he builds for Pharaoh's daughter, a separate house for his wife, probably adjoining. But man and wife are to live together according to Scripture. If it had perhaps been nearer, he possibly would not have multiplied wives as he did. And all of these are built with grandiose workmanship. The foundation stones, we read, are 12 to 15 feet square, at least as long. The building stones as well were costly workmanship, chiseled, sawn, in all ways, finely worked. And he modeled his own courts after the courts of the temple. We read in verse 12, that the great court was enclosed with 3 rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams, so were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple. And so he has built these things, and he builds them after pattern. And then we come into the building of the temple. and we read about furnishing the temple. And we have Hiram the brass worker. The tabernacle had been built with the riches of Egypt. The temple was built with the wisdom of Tyre and the riches which God had supplied Israel. God himself providing the wisdom to be used in his temple through the nations around Israel. We read about Hiram, and we read about him being the son of the widow of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre. And we see the combination of the wisdom of Tyre, manly wisdom, and yet he was using it in service of Almighty God, the best way in which wisdom can be used. And so he used the best brass that he could, bright brass, good brass, we read about in here. God, who is the best, must be served and honored by the best. Too often our worship is just a toss-off, but God deserves better. He deserves the absolute best. And this was all cast in the plain of Jordan. The quantity of brass was not accounted for. This wasn't because of carelessness, but because of the plenty with which this labor was undertaken. There was no need to account for it. We read about the two pillars, ornamental. We read about their capitals and all of the things that go on with them. A reminder to Israel and to the priests by their names, Boaz. In him is our strength. Jachin, he will establish. We are called by these to trust in Almighty God. Particular notice was taken when these pillars are destroyed by the Babylonians. We need to understand that too. We read about this molten sea, a large vessel, more than 15 feet across, holding 14,000 gallons of water, used for washing the priests, the sacrifices, keeping the temple clean, set on oxen, the image of which the Canaanites had for gods, the Baals, demonstrating the Baals, even the golden calf which Israel had made, were more fitting to be posts than gods. Sadly, this did not prevent Israel from making idols under Jeroboam, the rival to Solomon's son Rehoboam. And in the tabernacle, there was a laver of brass to wash in. In the temple, we have a sea, demonstrating the cleansing, the opening that was brought through Jesus Christ, a much more full cleansing than was in the tabernacle in the temple. We have 10 basins of brass. Not only was a sea provided for washing, but these 10 basins with carts were described here. We see that they carried huge amounts of water. And again, we're reminded of the necessity of being cleansed. When we as believers, we need regular washing. We need to be driven in our unworthiness to the throne of grace, to the cleansing of Christ's blood. We are often polluted by sin in this world and must come to Christ for forgiveness. The other utensils of the temple, Solomon and his ability, lays up for future generations so that when these vessels would be worn out, the people future would have an abundance to use. Pots, shovels, flesh hooks, basins, so many other things. And then we come to the gold work of the temple. Everything within the doors of the temple was gold. All was made new except the ark and the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. A new golden altar of incense, tables for the showbread. We read about 10 of them in 2 Chronicles 4:8. We read about 10 golden candlesticks instead of one, much more light. We have greater spiritual food. We have greater light. Everything, even the door hinges, are gold. No idolatrous temple had ever had this great of a splendor. And this anticipates the golden glory of heaven, which we read of in Revelation. Solomon, in concluding, brings in the items which his father had dedicated for the temple. And what was not then expended in building the temple and the furnishings for it was saved in the treasury for repairs, for other needs, and for the daily care. We see the splendor. We see the awe of this temple. And we need to realize the splendor, the awe of what God has reserved for those who believe in Jesus Christ in heaven. We need to consider the glory that God has prepared for those who trust in Jesus Christ alone, even as we consider Solomon's earthly temple. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS. Or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota, We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.